discussion is not necessarily the views of all involved. The goal is to start open and honest discussion in the Christian worldview. Like all things, weigh what you hear with what you know, and join us in our pursuit for the truth. Enjoy the podcast.
That sucks. I can't believe I said that.
He doesn't like hugs.
That's not true.
This whole bit sucks. I'm gonna get canceled.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Second Rate Saints podcast. I'm one of your hosts here, Caleb. Straight across from me,
it's Josh.
Yep.
To my left,
it's me, Caleb again, yeah. Which means this is a line.
We also don't live, or we don't live in a Euclidean spatial dimension.
Yeah, or that.
I'm back.
Interesting. One of those things is true. Can you guess? So we are missing, sadly, Stuart/Cole.
Yes.
We are missing Colton, and we are missing Joel.
Yes.
Which means we don't have a quorum, but we're going to record a podcast anyway.
And we're going to do the most boring thing ever. Look at stats for an hour and a half.
Dude, you're already bad mouthing this. This is going to be great.
First of all, this is my idea, but
actually that is true. I got distracted by stats and then he was like, we should just do that.
Christians like stats.
Yeah. So if you want to see episodes where those guys are, you can find that either just scroll down in your podcast feed, either on Spotify or on Apple Podcast, and you'll find episodes with the assortments of us there. Or if you go to our YouTube channel, you can find it might actually be a little bit easier to navigate to find specific episodes on specific topics there. Or you can go to our website, which has links to all of these things. And actually, there'll be a little bit of a bio about each one of us and links to other stuff that we do, such as our book reviews and our blog, as well as a link to buymeacoffee.com/secondratesaints, where you can actually donate to support the podcast, support us in our equipment, and encourage my soul.
Yes.
Yes. Josh.
Yes.
Did you learn to read?
Since I've been on last? Yes.
Yeah. Did you read this book that you read?
Yes, I wrote a book called What Does It Mean to Be Protestant?
You wrote a book?
Which is funny because it's asking me a question, which the book's supposed to answer. I don't know why it's asking me the question, though.
You also said you wrote it. But
yes.
Yes.
Anyway, so it's The Case for an Always Reforming Church by Gavin Ortland. It's a good book.
Best Baptist.
Well, there's a couple of good ones.
Spurgeon's up there.
Spurgeon. Yeah. And so the I'm cutting to the chase real quick. The cover is nice. It's got a very nice
classic
like church on the front.
Midwest country, yeah. Church steeple in the front.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So he goes over a bit of like, what does it mean to be Protestant compared to Catholicism or Orthodoxy or Oriental?
Yeah.
And he does a good job, in my opinion, of expressing not, again, modern Catholicism necessarily, but why the Protestant church separated, why it wasn't a sudden thing, but in history, a gradual thing. Mainly Martin Luther and the other reformers were not just people coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. You have proto-reformers before that. And
yeah.
Yeah. Most of them died.
Yes. Martin Luther was just the one that was most successful.
Mm-hmm.
But he also showed you that because of that, Protestantism isn't the fact that it is a renewal of Protestants say, a renewal of Christian theology of specific points They don't believe that the whole church fell away like Mormons do.
Well, and it'd be the difference between renewal movements or reforming movements.
Yes.
Versus restoration movements.
Yes.
Right. Restoration movements. And like those terms are so similar.
Yeah.
But like as a whole is like an identity. Restoration movements are the church fell away. Mm-hmm. This is a restoring.
Yeah.
Reform and renewal are the church has been bogged down.
Yeah.
The church, things have crept into the church. It's time to clean house. It's time to reform. Yeah. Let's organize this out.
Yeah.
Let's
see what's Saturday. Here. Let's get the stuff out.
Yeah.
Let's clean everything, dust it off.
Time to clean the garden.
Yeah. And naturally when you're a hoarder, you don't want to do that. No.
Interesting. Is that what he calls,
no, but he does a good job at showing the relationship between like the situation with Protestants was not just with Catholics. You do see stuff going on with the Eastern side of the church.
Yep.
Different. And you also, he kind of does a funny thing where he kind of shows, not intentionally, but how Orthodox and Protestants will agree with stuff against Catholics. Catholics and Eastern Orthodox will agree against Protestants. Protestants and Catholics will agree against Orthodox. And yeah. Now, what he mainly covers is the, not all of the solas, but the ones that separate Protestant theology from Catholic or Orthodox theology, mainly sola fide and sola scriptura.
Right.
And he does a good job at describing how sola scriptura, again, at the level of the Reformation, not solo scriptura, not I'm my own Pope, not I read the Bible and me sitting alone at home reading the Bible is enough. Does a very good job of describing how the Bible is the only infallible authority.
Yep.
But we still have other authorities and those authorities have purpose.
Yep.
And then also sola fide, again, how describing the distinction between not works-based salvation, but the idea that works and faith work together through human responsibility versus works that are produced out of faith.
Yeah. Well, and it's what I find interesting in reading a lot of like from the source reformational documents. Rome is not unified.
No.
In their the Catholic Church did reform just as much as Protestantism reformed, right? That which was before the Protestant Reformation is not the same Catholic Church as what came after, nor is it the same as what the Protestant Church came after. You had both sides reformed.
Yeah.
The church itself did. But the debates on those things, the church was still struggling with that. So one of the things that I found interesting was in Bloody Mary, the Marian Bloody Mary, when she brings Catholicism back to England.
Yeah.
The archbishop that served under her, Bishop Reginald Pole, he was one of the papal legates to Trent. And he personally held justification by faith alone.
Yeah.
Personally. That was he believed that was going to be the thing that they went on. Now he decided, okay, well, that was the council went against it, so I'm going to submit to Rome and blah blah blah, submit to the teachings of Rome, and this is what Rome has decided to teach, and he moves on with that. But he was accused of, you know, Lutheranism, and he was like, oh, and meanwhile on the other side he's killing Protestants, or complicit in that. And so if one of the papal legates at Trent went there expecting at least to fight for justification by faith alone or some version of that, it shows the diversity within Rome at the time. Right.
Well, and like when you look, all of the Protestants before they were reformers were going to Catholic churches.
Yes.
And so they were Catholic. And as the Protestants would continue to say, are still.
Yeah. The Catholicity of Protestantism is such a poorly articulated position. And one of the great things that
It didn't pass down after 500 years well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
at the time it was.
And one of the beautiful gifts that God has given the church in Gavin Ordland is the restoring of the Catholicity of Protestantism.
Yes.
Even though I would have massive disagreements with him.
Mm-hmm.
Still beautiful articulations of the Protestant positions.
Yes. Yeah. And so what I also appreciate he does, and I think you'll appreciate this too, is he doesn't just quote reformers. He goes Old Testament, New Testament, throughout all the church father ages, the apostolic fathers, and showing you the progression of these theologies and how they show up in reformers and how the reformers themselves go back to the church fathers and the Old and New Testament. But then also, again, after presenting why Protestantism is good and sufficient.
Why you should stay.
Why you should stay Protestant. But also, one of the arguments he makes is that it's the best presentation of Catholicity is one of the major themes.
Yeah.
But then he does some test cases with the Protestant theology on the magisterium, the primacy of the Pope, Marian dogmas, and iconography.
Yeah.
And he goes through the history, the arguments and stuff like that. Again, the book's not long. So
yeah,
you can't say that the arguments are exhaustive or he's going to bring up every quotation, but I think he does a good job at giving you the wide foray of history to see how it's not simply some guys 500 years ago said 1500 years of history was wrong.
Dude, I can Google your tradition. Jesus started the Catholic Church. Yours was started by Luther, man. Come on. Yeah. Clearly. AI agrees with me.
Well, that's because robotheism is the fastest growing religion on earth.
What would you rate the book?
3.5 out of 10.
Okay. That's less than I thought.
It's not my favorite book. Like, church history is not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it was good. Accomplished what it set out to do, but it's not, he's a good author. He's very,
that's just 70%.
Yes. He's
it's a passing grade.
if you ever want to get into the inter-tradition dialogue, he's a good person to enter with because he's nice.
He's probably the safest person to enter with.
Yes. You're not going to feel bullied.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel crushed. he's very nice about that. So, yeah.
Cool. And cover is?
4 out of 10.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
4 out of 5. Sorry.
4 out of 10.
4 out of 5. Sorry. Cool. It's good.
Cool.
Yeah. It's better than whatever the hand image in
what?
The Pope John Paul II.
Oh, book. Theology of the Body?
Yeah.
In simple English?
Yeah. I didn't like the two hands, it's
because you're not a touchy feely guy.
Nah, it was culty.
Nah.
Weird.
You're just not a touchy feely guy.
I don't need to see.
He doesn't like hugs.
That's not true.
Anyway, moving on to me just making up stuff about Josh.
Yeah, I feel bullied.
Unlike what Gavin Ortland would do. Anyway, we're going to talk about stats from Pew Research.
Yes.
So Pew Research is a think tank and a survey pub. I find them fascinating. I've used them several times in the past, especially during school.
You've even made a few surveys yourself.
I have. I was that annoying guy in school that I'd be like, hey, here's a survey. Some of these answers are heresy. But yeah, so we're going to go through over some generic religious stats that are going to be, I think this has the potential to be interesting.
Yes.
Hopefully it's not as boring as what could be.
Yeah.
We tried to pull from the most modern stats. So like this first article we're going to go over, and we're going to put the articles, links to the articles in the video description on YouTube if you want to go there. Mm-hmm. So this is an article from June 9th, 2025. However, it is on the global change of religions from 2010 to 2020. So it's yes. on an older set.
Yeah.
But it's a rather expansive compilation of data.
Yes.
I've already asked you some of these questions.
Okay.
But just so the listener gets to ask them as well, or gets to hear them as well. Josh, what religious group had the most followers gained the most followers between 2010 and 2020?
That would be Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And by no small margin.
No.
Christianity grew by 121 million. Islam grew by 346.
But one must ask,
why?
How?
Yeah. So
this is two very different methods.
Yes. Because the stats, like the article here doesn't actually say it. And Christianity actually shrunk. Because I'm going to explain why. Christianity in 2010 was 31% of the world's population.
Yeah.
And in 2020, it is 28.
Yeah.
However, it still grew. So it's not matching the population growth.
Yes. And so, yeah, the number of Christians on earth increased.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of the population of earth that is Christian decreased.
Yes.
Yeah. Because also the other two groups that grew faster than Christianity were the religiously unaffiliated and Hindus.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know about religiously unaffiliated, but Hinduism and Islam grow the same way.
Go on, tell me how they grow.
You don't see many Hindu converts or evangelists.
No. Well, there is what's his name from The Office. I believe he's Hindu. If he's not,
you're just insensitive.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah.
Oh no. That's on the internet now.
On like also Buddhism collapsed.
Yeah.
They went down 18 million.
Yeah.
So the other religions do not have evangelists the way that Christianity does. They don't do.
Islam tries.
Again, Islam has a different method.
Yeah.
Islam has been doing that more with the internet recently.
Mm-hmm. In fairness, that would be after 2020, which is the limits of this study. Yes. So fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas what you see with Hinduism and Islam, and again, this is also documented, the number one reason for the growth of the religious population in those religions is birth rates.
Yeah. And like massive.
Yeah.
Huge.
Christian countries, for the most part, do not have massive birth rates.
Yep.
Most Christian countries, except what we're about to see with Africa, have low birth rates, even declining birth rates.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what you see with Islam and Hindu nations, India, the birth rates are in the 8 to 12 plus.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, 6 and up.
Yeah. And so when you do
with Christians, you're like talking, I think right now, what is it? 1.2 in Canada.
Yeah.
If my memory is right. And like, if you see a Christian, not just a Christian, a Western person, and a Western person, statistically, it's not even, mm-hmm. it's not even likely that they're Christian par se. The US has 60 some odd percent say they're Christians, mm-hmm. but regardless. So even if you have a Western person, regardless of their racial color, they are less likely to have anywhere close to that amount of children. Mm-hmm.
So when you do that math, that Christianity has a third of the increase in population that Islam has, but in those countries you have declining birth rates rather than positive birth rates, the actual conversion rate of people that are not born Christians mm-hmm. is insane in comparison.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things, like you mentioned Africa. Mm-hmm. Africa has now become the center of where the majority of Christians are.
Yeah.
Western Christianity, oh, not Western Christianity, Western Europe just plummets in the stats.
Yeah.
And like intuitively people know this kind of stuff just from watching the news, knowing like where things are at. And but the stats are fascinating if you kind of yeah. want to see that on a graph and know those numbers. But in sub-Saharan Africa, they back in 2010, they had 24.8% of the world's Christian population. And now they have 30.7. And so I wonder if the same cause of growth for Islam yeah. worldwide is that's the cause of Christian growth in sub-Saharan Africa. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look at it. Well, that's certainly going to be a factor. I do know the amount of missionaries and money that has been pumped into sub-Saharan Africa. It wouldn't be shock to me if many of those are converts, not yeah. just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what's interesting, because like when you do the on average, these are just crazy numbers. Like when you think about this, 12 million new Christians per year for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like if that.
And how many of those are, you know, we're both. You're capital R reformed. Mm-hmm. I'm small R reformed. How many of those are the elect?
Correct. Yeah.
But
how many of those are born? How many of those are converted? But anyways, the fact that theoretically 12 million people are being saved from the gates of hell mm-hmm. every year. That's, and then how many are not recorded? Like, I just went to the Philippines a month mm-hmm. ago.
Yes.
And there are converts in these tribal communities in the islands of the Philippines that are not being recorded. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, and are they accounted for, or is this an estimate? Do they try yeah. to just go, just throw on an extra mm-hmm. 50,000 when you're counting the Philippines?
Yeah. Oh, and then like, okay. when you have, like recently, I don't know how much to take this, but there's been a lot of reports of miraculous conversions in Islamic countries in the yes. last 5 years.
Yes.
And so I wonder how much that's going to affect these numbers in the next 10 years. Because that's a, like, we're talking like the way people are talking about the mysterious presentations of Jesus to Islamic populations.
Yeah.
Is like in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. We'll see. I think yeah. that sometimes there is a little bit of the Christian propaganda machine that gets
exactly
get Christians pumped to then read and hear about that so that yes. you will say it more. Mm-hmm. Eh. Echo chambers have to start with a noise. So even mm-hmm. if it is an echo chamber, there's something.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Both Latin America, Christianity in Latin America, percentage wise, mm-hmm. back in 2010, they started off with 24.7%. And in 2020, they are 24.1, basically yeah. flatlined. In the Asia Pacific area, mm-hmm. 11.8, and now they're at 11.6, and now they're at 11.8. But it's the decline in Europe and in North America, mm-hmm. where you get Europe went from 25.8 to 22.3. percent mm-hmm. of, like, and we're talking like of all Christians, right?
Yeah.
And North America went from 12.4 to 10.5. Mm-hmm. And then Antarctica went 0 to 0, by the way. No. and then also no data from Greenland.
Only atheist scientists.
and no data from Greenland.
Yeah. What's interesting is the Jewish population has only gone up 0.9.
Yeah, they're solid.
That's 100. That's like 90,000 people a year.
I would like to wonder, how many of those are like in their they're measuring this. Are they measuring ethnic Judaism? Because they shouldn't, because none yeah. of the other religions are ethnically tied, and they should be. Measuring, I almost said Bible believing Jews, Torah observant Jews.
Yes.
Right. Or at least even liberal, but like, you know, because they're measuring liberal Christians as Christians.
My favorite is still when you go to Chapters and you can buy a Jewish study Bible. That's my favorite.
That's good. That's good. Yeah,
they don't even call it a Torah.
However, they call it a study. That's rough. Holy moly.
What's good news though, still, this might change in the near future. Who knows? But Christianity's still the most populous religion.
Yes.
Barely by 3%.
Yeah, it's actually way closer than people think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Religiously unaffiliated populations grew substantially in no small number of countries.
Yeah.
So atheism, or just like a generic, not atheism, that's nons. New age, pseudo spiritual, pseudo whatever has grown. Yeah. Which, for whatever reason, I only articulate like the new agey type. I'm going to call discount new agey faith the religious non-affiliated. People who believe in like generic spiritual powers, but they don't actually have a spiritual system like some new age people try to have.
Yeah.
Like modern Gnostics. I only articulate them in a Western context, like in my brain. I don't know how the person was like, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious or Christian. I'm just spiritual. I can't articulate that person in a non-Western environment.
Yes. The religiously unaffiliated populations.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and that's what's interesting is, and I think there's a, I think this chart here where it says religiously unaffiliated populations grow substantially in 35 countries.
Yeah.
I think that's probably because of the Christians in those nations. Hear me out.
Yeah.
You've got 35 religiously unaffiliated grow. Sorry. You've got by at least 5 percentage points in 35 countries, religiously unaffiliated people grow. But then Islam is 3 at second place. Christianity is 1. And then all the others are 0.
Well, and it's also.
And then you see in the negative shrank by 5 points is Christianity at 40. And so I think that's probably the Christians in those nations fell away.
Yeah.
Or their next generation of kin.
Yeah.
Were born or grew up.
Well,
and then they weren't quite in it.
Cause it's not just that. It's not just the fact that, let's just say Western Christians, cause sub-Saharan Christians are a whole different thing going on with the stats. I think Western Christians, it's not just that they're actually having less kids. They also, they don't retain their kids in the faith. Near as much as Islam.
Yeah.
Let's say. One of the interesting thing is the stats are padded a little bit by a 1.3 billion religiously non-affiliated from China.
Yes. That is crazy.
Yeah.
It has China has 7 times more religiously unaffiliated people as the US and Japan combined.
Yeah.
Which are the religiously unaffiliated nations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at 1.3 billion. But I wonder if that's just a weird reflection of the stats coming out as like
There's going to be some.
Well, like what's the weird Chinese cult?
Oh, the three person. No, what's it called? Yeah, Three Self Patriotic Movement is the official government sanctioned Protestant organization in China, established in 1951. It is overseen by the United Front Work Department and is also known as the Three Self Church.
Yeah. You've also got Falun Gong. That's the one I was looking for.
The Three Self refers to the principles of self-governance, self-support, and self-propagation, which are intended to create a Protestant church independent of foreign influence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somehow I'm inclined not to.
Yeah. But like you've got a bunch of like you have Falun Gong, you've got the interesting brand, interesting religious groups that are not tied to the ones of the same name. Like the Uyghur Muslim population is not kind of like the Three Self movement.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're not really Muslim.
You're not Sunni or Shia. You're your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of the 1.3 billion is those groups.
And the Uyghur Muslims are doing fine under China right now, right?
Correct. We're definitely going to get flagged, but
we've already said Uyghur Muslims enough that it's the CPC. Thank you.
Like the. Yeah. Canadian production company.
Well, they, depending on how much Canada is just a front for China. Anyway, one of the interesting stats that I found interesting that they did talk about here, though, is the like ratio to join to leave.
Mm.
So in generic religiously affiliated.
Yep.
And obviously this is going to be inverted if you sort it by religiously unaffiliated. 3.2 for every 3.2 people that leave an affiliated religion, one joins.
Mm.
And that's including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhists, the whole shebang. And so in as a whole, organized religion as a whole is losing 3.2 people for every one they gain.
Yeah.
Christians themselves have a marginally better stat with 3.1 for every one we gain.
Nice.
Yeah. The only one that is growing, quote unquote, is Islam, which is for every one they lose, they gain 1.2.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, and I'd like to there is a danger of like looking at stats like this where it's just like, okay, but like, what was the methodology?
Yeah.
Where was that found? How many places was that study found across in each country? Right.
Yeah.
So, cause if that's a sample size of like parts of Europe where you have some of the most aggressive Islamic, evangelism, if you can call it that.
Yeah. Well, it's not good news, so it can't be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They would think it is.
Well, and that based on countries, that's interesting because then you've got the number of countries that a particular religion is the majority in.
Mm.
And Christianity is the most widespread.
Yes.
So you've got Christianity is the majority of the majority population in 120 nations.
Okay.
Islam is the majority religion in 53 nations. And then you go religiously affiliated and it's 10. And then Buddhism, 7. Hinduism, 2. So like it's as far as like reach and effect on nations and history and.
It's almost like Christianity is a blessing to all people and all nations.
Exactly. Yeah. So theoretically, and so out of that, 59.7% of countries have Christianity as the major religion.
Okay.
So not only are we the most populous.
Most widespread.
And the way in which we grow is through conversion, not through birth rates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if we were to retain our birth rates too, that would pad our numbers immensely.
Yes.
Interestingly, most other religions beyond Islam and Hindus they have a sizable elderly 50 and up demographic. Islam has 33% supposedly at the time of 2020 are below 0 to 14. Over half of those who reported were between 15 and 47. Christianity is lower on both of those categories and then has 26% 50 and up, whereas Islam has 15. And so those numbers are going to be, swing even further as older Christians continue to die off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're still on top, baby.
But yeah, there's far more stats on that specific study. Pew Research has a way more stats. Do you have any more on that, or do you want to move on a little bit to our next one?
I think we can move on to the next one.
Okay, so that paper or that publication is how the global religious landscape changed from 2010 to 2020 by Pew Research, and that will be in the link in the YouTube video in the description. Let's move to the next one. Do you want to take us through it? It is huge, so we're not going to get anywhere close to
decline of Christianity in the U.S.
has
slowed, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. May have even leveled off.
Yes. And so after the years of decline, Christians share the U.S. population stabilizes. What started in 2007 at 78% drops at 2022 at about 60%. Mm-hmm. And now in 2024 has gone back up to 63%.
Mm-hmm. Now, this study is predominantly done across 2023 to 2024, but it was released this year in 2025.
Yes.
So it's like the previous, it was released this year, but its data set is older.
Yeah. And also what's noticed is that 2019 and 2000, 2019 was the end of telephone-based surveys, and 2020 was the start of surveys conducted mainly online or on paper.
Hmm.
So the
interesting
that may or may not affect the people you get to do surveys or the amount. Yeah. That so often in our childhood at church, if we went to a Christian school, if you went to a youth group, whatever, constantly hearing the decline of Christianity in Western nations.
Yeah.
And the rise of atheism.
Yeah. Well, it's even presented
in the fear of Islam coming across the ocean.
Yeah. It's even presented in, like, I love RTS games, or like Forex strategy games. Right.
Mm-hmm. Nerd.
All right, whatever. Bold of you. We're sitting in your living room with your books there. I should probably wear that with honor. Anyway,
you should.
And so like strategy games that, you know, depict like you're trying to run a country or whatever, and it goes across history from like the Renaissance onward. Every single time I've played any game that allows me to do that, it'll have, oh yeah, and then in like 1850, atheism just becomes the main religion slowly, so that by the time you reach 1990, 80% of your population is just atheists. Mm-hmm. It's like, but that's not, first off, the timeline's not right.
Yeah.
And second of all, that's not even accurate for what's going on right now.
No, and they also, it's also a kind of similar to what the joke we were making before with Catholics saying Protestants don't share the same history.
Yeah.
Atheism didn't start 150 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for forever. As long as there was religion, there were people that didn't believe in religion.
Yes.
And so you can even find it in stories. You even find it in the Bible, in Psalms and in Proverbs, where it says to those who say there are no gods, right?
Yeah.
In Israel, there were people 3,000 years ago that didn't believe in God and lived in Israel. Like,
yeah. Yes. I had a thing I was going to say and then I forgot.
Well, so my point is that, like, people have this trajectory of atheism growing to overtake Western civilization. It's been the minority for forever. It's just they became professors.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was kind of, there was a scare.
Yeah.
At least for me and you growing up in early 2000s, you know, you're kind of after the satanic panic movement a little bit. But there's this understanding of, no, we've lost the institutions, we've lost the, and let's fully disclose, mm-hmm. right? If I think it's 60, how many what percentage of Christians in the US? 63, 64? Yeah, somewhere in there. Mid-60s, mid to low 60s. You and I would go, well, just because someone says they're a Christian doesn't mean that they are, right? And I think, well, we can look at that stat and go, well, see, Christianity is still the majority religion. We can look around and see how progressive Christianity has essentially neutered what would be a majority Christian populace.
Yeah.
Right. And so in a sense, the atheists haven't, the secularists haven't won.
Mm-hmm.
By the people who are just saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. But in another sense, they have.
Yeah.
And that's not reflected in this study.
Well, and what you also see in this is people may not be Christian. People mm-hmm. may be otherly religiously affiliated. But what you also see is there are some percentages here that I think are important to show that people still believe in spiritual or religious mm-hmm. truth. So 86% of Americans believe people have a soul or spirit in addition to the physical body. 83% believe in God or a universal spirit. 79% believe there is something spiritual beyond the natural world, even if we can't see it. And 70% believe in an afterlife, heaven, hell, or both. 92% of Americans believe in one or more of the above.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's interesting because when I talk to people at work or whatever, the assumption has always been.
Yeah.
There's like, oh, the assumption is you're an atheist. And if you're an atheist, if you're a good boy atheist, you don't hold to those things.
Yeah.
But the vast majority do, even if they're not religiously affiliated.
Do you know who would fall into this category of people who believe in some form of spirituality? Sam Harris.
Yes.
One of the new atheists.
Yes.
Is someone who has professed himself that he does believe in a form of spirituality that exists outside of the material universe.
And it's like, okay.
Yeah. But that's what's interesting is even many atheists themselves believe that there's some transcendence to the material plane. A lot of the times when people argue with atheists, what they're actually arguing with is materialists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's atheists have more of a problem with a existing authority, whereas materialists are dealing with the fact that there's nothing beyond what I can touch or see.
Yeah. I found there's some interesting stats with prayer. Now, prayer in general has upticked like a couple percentage points, but there's some interesting ones regarding ages. So and this would be in those born in 2000 to 06, so 18 to 24 right now at the time of releasing 19 to 25, but regardless, 46% of that age demographic identify as Christians, but only 27% pray daily. Whereas,
and this is the younger population.
This would be the younger population.
Yeah.
The older population, so those born of in 94 mm-hmm. and up, so you're talking 74 plus.
Yeah.
80% of those of that demographic in the US, 80% of 84 and up identify as Christian, and 58% of those pray every day.
And now that's sad that the numbers decline. Mm-hmm. But it's the same percentage of that initial group.
Yes.
It's still half.
Well, and what the part in that both. I find fascinating, and it's similar to the prayers in like attend services monthly.
Yeah.
The thing that I find fascinating though is when you take those, well, how many people pray?
But what's interesting is yes, the percentage of the population in those age groups has declined and say that they're a Christian,
mm-hmm.
but the ratio of their praying is still just above 50% regardless.
Yeah.
So what that means is that of those who say they're Christian, about 60% of them pray
daily.
Yeah.
So regardless, that's not saying that Christians are getting worse at praying.
It's just there are less of them.
There's just less of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which is important.
Mm-hmm.
And what is sad, though, is that the youngest adults are more likely than the older Americans to be religiously unaffiliated. And now, what does this mean? Because we're Canadians.
And Canadians are traditionally, mm-hmm. more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Ow, did you hear my shoulder?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you die?
I did.
Is this the rapture?
No. You don't have enough windows in here for anyway.
Yeah. Is there any more in this?
There is tons. This document specifically, you could scroll through for forever.
Yeah.
I think we could do some wild stuff with that. Do you have like some questions on it? Like some quiz questions?
Yes. One second.
If we're going to have some fun ones, because they even do some like denominational stuff, right? Like,
one second. I got them right here.
Pentecostal.
Given the generational replacement, that generational replacement is a significant factor in the decline of Christian identity. What societal or cultural shifts might be contributing to younger generations being less religious than older generations?
Given that.
Yeah.
Oh. Hang on. I'm going to say it wrong, but the idea is still going to get across. The non-religious education.
Okay. Yep.
I would say is a major factor.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Because they're no longer in constant Christian community and school and affirmation. Now other people would say that's brainwashing. It's just called community.
It's also you can't raise a child without brainwashing.
Yes. I would also say in the Proverbs, you've got a lot of when the father's speaking to the son mm-hmm. about wisdom, he says, don't go with the young men that say, let's go and do harm.
Yeah.
And I think with the internet and social media specifically, you've got a lot of groupthink taking over for individual thought.
And the breakdown of the family unit and you have a bunch of those things. So people are looking for connections outside one of the best, if I'm going to make a callback to a previous episode that will be released.
Yeah.
I think just before this episode is going to come out, the myth.
Yes.
Myths. One of the cool myths that's in the new Superman movie
mm-hmm.
is specifically don't listen to what your purpose is and what your goal is by people who don't know you or love you.
Yes.
Listen to what your purpose is by the people who actually love you.
Yeah.
So some Marxist online.
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't care or know about you. Listen to your parents. Don't listen to the Marxists online.
Well, and then that also gets into Paul's thing in the New Testament, where he talks about how there'll be people that go off and listen to teachers and people that make them feel good or tickle their own ears. Which is just a phrase. And so I think those things combined is within social media and the internet, you have young men and young women. Because of the breakdown of the family and the breakdown of institutions and the breakdown of communities, going to people that sound wise, sound intelligent, have quotes, have stats, have all these things, and provide answers because they're on shaky ground, because now the Nietzsche thing has taken effect and the no longer is Atlas holding up the world, so they have to hold it up themselves. And so they're
To answer that question one more time as well, there may be a factor in that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Christian, for lack of a better term, let's just say catechesis
mm-hmm.
has been bad for a long time.
Yeah. In all the traditions.
In all the traditions. And I don't personally think it was any better even 100 years ago.
No.
What I think it had, though, is again with the Nietzschean, our culture was living off of the husk
mm-hmm.
of Christianity. We were just kind of
Yeah.
Like we were, in other words, it stemmed the tide of how bad some of our catechesis was.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we don't have cultural Christianity as being so prominent, how bad our catechesis is really showing.
Here's the other thing, though. And I think we're going to start seeing the benefits of this in the next question.
Yeah.
Is cultural Christianity is also not good in and of itself. Mm-hmm. What I mean is that being culturally Christian does not mean you're Christian. It just means you're living with Christian ethics.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're actually a Christian.
Yeah. Which would matter for us heavily.
Yes.
Doesn't matter for Pew Research.
Yes. And so
they do make stats on it, though.
Well, yeah. And so I was actually just reading Mere Christianity because of a Bible study I'm in for the third time.
Such a good book.
Such a good book. But on his moral section, he does highlight something important, which is it's not that God doesn't want you to do the right thing for bad reasons. He wants you to do it from the right reasons. And so being culturally Christian doesn't satisfy God in the way that being a transformed person in the image of Christ, acting out of that transformation, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is the point that Christians are challenging Jordan Peterson on, right? Yes, you should act as if God exists, but you should act as if God exists because you believe he exists.
Yes.
Not regardless of if you believe he exists.
Yeah. It's taking Pascal's wager to be something that it never was meant to be.
But it's taking Pascal's wager as I guess I'll do this.
Yeah. Not as a,
well, because of the wager, maybe I should believe.
Yeah.
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 And so that gets into the next.
Well, and I think Pascal's wager was originally designed to show the absurdity of just
not believing,
of flippant unbelief.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. The next question then is, if the trend of each birth cohort, the article notes that the decline in Christianity has slowed or potentially plateaued. What factors, both internal to religious communities and external in society, might be contributing to this stabilization? And do you think this trend will continue?
I think the radicalization of secularism mm-hmm. has finally reared its ugly head.
Mm.
Most definitively in how the left has accepted incoherent mm-hmm. beliefs. And so you have people that have just kind of defaulted to go, okay, well, that's wrong. So I think some of it's reaction. I think the falseness of secularism. Let me rephrase that. Falseness makes it sound like I'm just presupposing I'm correct, which I think I am. But the emptiness of secularism to provide a meaning, to provide guidance, is just not there. And that's where you get like the Jordan Peterson types, right? That's where you get the people who are hungry and looking for meaning and truth and purpose, because secularism just didn't give them that.
Yeah.
So
you can only be told for so long that you're a meaningless bag of chemicals before you
believe it. It's almost like C.S. Lewis said that again in
Mere Christianity.
No.
Miracles.
No. What is it called? Oh,
Screwtape Letters. Just name them.
Prince Caspian.
There you go.
Be told you're dumb animal long enough. Treated like a dumb animal. That is what you'll become.
Yeah. And so that's the whole meaning crisis. Yeah. People are clawing for the transcendent and they'll find it.
Yeah.
And what we need to not do is become Christian nationalists or return back to cultural Christianity.
Yeah.
But point to the true church.
Yeah.
Now, this is an interesting stat, is long-term decline in Christianity is much more pronounced among political liberals than political conservatives.
Wow.
Who could have known? And the difference is in liberals, political liberals, they have dropped by, in men, 15 percentage points.
Yeah.
in conservatives, 11 percentage points.
Okay. So it's not like a drastic difference.
No. But then you see in women, it's about the same, 16 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
In Hispanic people, it's 17 in liberals, 13 in conservatives.
Bigger gap.
College graduates, about the same. Less than college, about the same. Northwest. Different parts of the United States is very interesting. But yeah, then you've got conservatives drop from. Yeah.
What I find interesting is when you're going through all these stats and the ones that do end up breaking down the gender different gap. Every time women are more religious.
Yeah. Oh,
at least from the stats that I've seen, every time women are more religious, more likely to go to church. What's that?
Sorry, I read that all wrong.
Okay. More likely to go to church, more likely to pray, more likely to, even when they're non-religious affiliated, they're more likely to believe spiritual things.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know. That's, I find that fascinating. Even in the, I don't know if we've brought it up on the podcast before, but there is a theory that one of the reasons why, low church is struggling to retain men is because there has been why there's a movement of particularly males going to the East and Rome, is because there's the low church presentation appears to is more applicable to women.
Yeah.
So the theory goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does. If the stats are even of non-religiously affiliated people, they are going to be, women are more likely to have religious beliefs, quasi new age beliefs. I don't know if that argument has as much swing as it used to in my mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sorry, I was wrong.
Okay.
It is more drastic. In 2007, 89% of conservatives politically were Christian. In 2023 to 2024, it's 82%. It's only dropped by like 7%.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Liberals went from 62 to 37.
Yeah.
So a drop of 7 percentage points to 25.
That makes more sense. Okay.
And then, yeah, men and women is men have only dropped by 15 percentage points, whereas women 16 percentage points.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So
that goes against what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, no. But here's the difference. So in 2007, 74% of men were Christians.
Yeah.
2023, 2024 is now 59%. Women were 82%. Okay. So they were 8 points higher.
Yeah. But men. But it's also they also tend to be more religious nones.
Yes.
Right. Like as a whole, regardless of Christianity. Actually, Islam might be its own thing in this. As a whole, they tend to be more religious.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. This specific study is massive.
Yes.
We're going to footnote it. Do we want to move off of this one? Or do you have anything else? I'd highly recommend someone go check this out. I think this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Although, reread it because I think both of us have misread stats.
Correct.
You read it close.
Well, the decline in the different traditions is very interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Catholicism's done some ups and downs. Whereas Protestantism is 51% to 40%.
Catholicism does it break down the main lines? Because the main lines were disproportionately liberal.
Yes. So you've got all the Protestant denominations and then.
And like people, there's some stats that people, you intuitively know some of these stats where you're just like,
the Reformed population has not changed.
That's fun.
Percentage wise.
What about Presbyterian?
Presbyterian down 0.5.
Yeah. Okay. It's not as bad as I thought though.
Yeah.
Cause I think liberal and Anglican tanked.
Let's go to,
I'd assume, some of these stats you'll know intuitively a bit, because it's like, yeah, that makes sense. I've seen that, like, in my small sample sizes of my experience with my local city and culture that's going around there.
Only 1.5 to 1.1%.
Is that right?
I think so. From 2007 to 2024.
I don't know if that's. Okay.
Yeah. Non-denominational went up 4.5 to 7.1. Yeah. No, it's just so funny. Reformed is 0.3%.
That's funny.
The percentages just stayed the same.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Do we want to move on to the next one?
Mormonism is the exact same. Anyways.
Despite their best efforts.
8 facts about atheists?
Sure, let's do that. We're not going to do the 1 in 3 Americans say it's necessary to believe in God to be moral.
That'd be fun.
I don't know which one's next. I'm sorry, I got confused.
Oh, the next one on the list is...
atheists. Let's do it.
Yeah.
8 facts to be... 8 facts
how to be an atheist. How to be an atheist.
Also, the photo on this is a guy driving on a road on a bike.
Past a church.
But it also looks AI generated, to be honest with you.
But was this made before AI?
It was released February 7th of last year.
Yeah, his eyes are too far apart.
Interesting. Factoid number one. In the U.S., atheists are mostly men and relatively young.
Mm-hmm.
Around 6 in 10 U.S. atheists are men. That'd be 64%. And 7 in 10 are ages... 7 in 10 are ages 49 and younger. Or younger. Compared to about half of the U.S. adults overall.
Yeah. Atheists also are more likely than the general public to be white, 77% versus 62%, mm-hmm. and have a college degree, 48% versus 34%. Roughly 8 in 10 atheists identify with or lean towards the Democratic Party. So what that means is that atheism is predominantly in young white elites.
Yeah. Again, you knew that.
Yeah.
I think my favorite stat on this is almost all U.S. atheists, 98%, say religion is not too or not at all important in their lives. No way.
No way.
Yeah.
That would make you not atheist. I want to know.
Did you see the Europe map on that one, though?
No. I want to know which degrees they have, though.
Ah, that'd be interesting. Look at the Europe map, because it's great.
Sorry, 1 second. They have a... They linked the study. Most nuns describe their religion as nothing in particular. Not even atheism.
Interesting.
What's the degree they've got?
40 degrees.
Ooh, nuns on average are less likely than religiously affiliated Americans to volunteer or vote.
Or vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
So generally operate in the public sphere.
Yeah.
Other than to argue on the internet.
That makes sense. Again, you knew that.
Yeah.
Guess what percentage, knowing that religiously non-affiliated or none and nuns are more popular, right?
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that fact of those who are just full-blown atheists are less percentage than you would normally think. What percentage of Italy do you think is atheists?
Oh.
As of
20%.
2024. 8.
That's more than the US.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The US is 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Italy has Rome.
I know. Guess what Germany is, if we're going to do a Protestant.
34%.
8.
Oh.
Guess what the UK is?
12.
Bang on. Guess what France is?
23.
You knew.
The most.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Hungary and Poland are two. Now, again, religiously non-affiliated and nuns are higher percentages. Mm-hmm. Whereas we as Christians may walk out our door, and when we interact with an atheist, a nun, yeah, and a religiously non-affiliated, we in our brain will go, these are all atheists.
Mm-hmm.
And so the methodology here is not,
yeah,
matching up with what we would colloquially call atheists.
Yeah. Well, and that's the sad thing about the nuns or the religious.
Not N-U-N.
Yes. The N-O-N-E.
Yeah.
It's less like an intellectual pursuit against the belief in a God. It's more apathy.
Yeah.
Or pain. And it's the.
Or pain. Well, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Where it's not that, like, not like Sam Harris or Christopher Hitchens, who has arguments against the belief in God,
yeah,
for logical reasons or scientific reasons or whatever. It's, what does it matter?
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
Which I think actually,
or the church hasn't helped me, or
yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the stats that actually kind of proves this a little bit too, mm-hmm, is, and I looked at the methodology of this stat a little bit, cause it's like, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially they sent out a survey about different religions, and atheists and religious people of different religions filled it out. Statistically, at least, atheists may not believe religious teachings, but as a whole, they know more about religion, wide net,
mm-hmm,
than many religious, that'd be one specific faith,
yeah,
people. And I think the reason why that is the case is because the stats are very specific with what an atheist is. Because, mm-hmm, if you were to put the nuns in, if you were to put the religiously non-affiliated in, they don't care to know at all. Somebody who is aggressively, no, I am an atheist.
Yeah.
They will watch the Christopher Hitchens. They will watch the, mm-hmm, Sam Harris's. They will watch the, you know, and so they are more informed than the people that you're describing, the apathy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that gets into like point six. We'll get back to point five, but atheists may not believe religious teachings, but they're quite informed about religion.
Yeah, that was what the one I was mentioning. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Did we do point five?
No.
Most U.S. atheists express concerns about the role religion plays in society.
Sucks to suck. Move on.
An overwhelming majority of atheists, 94%, say that the statement religion causes division and intolerance describes their views a great deal or a fair amount, according to the summer 2023 survey. And 91% say that same about the statement religion encourages superstition and illogical thinking. Nearly 73% say religion does more harm than good to American society. At the same time,
says the group of people that are killing babies at world records. Anyway,
whoa, cut that out.
I don't know. For whatever reason, that one pisses me off. Because it's like, hey, I'm going to. Do you know what I mean, though?
Oh, my gosh.
We may have to cut that one out.
Just say the quiet part out loud. Just say you think they worship Moloch.
Well, if you go, hey, I'm an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Morals are maybe relative. We don't really know, but I want to try to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm going to reinvent the wheel of what ethics are.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I want the laws to reflect what I think my ethics are,
mm-hmm,
rather than what that religion over there says.
Yeah.
What they've done is just straight up, everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. And also, I want the government to be okay with that. I'm saying this as someone that is currently reading
a
book on the English Civil War, which was like, half of that is religiously motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking thousands of people died.
Like, yes, it sucks. And that's an inter-Christian war. But I don't know, the level of arrogance historically in the short time that atheism has had control of governments to make make legal to make laws on ethics. It would be to believe that religion is worse. You have to be historically illiterate.
Well, it
makes sense that I think that if you're not going to look more than 100 years into the future, because you won't be there, you're not going to look more than 100 years into the past.
Yeah.
That being said, we all do what is right in our own eyes as sinners.
This is true. But let's also, like, I'm referencing that in its, like, biblical theological sense, not in, like, a systematic sense.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The way it's presented in the Old Testament of the people are abandoning the temple, people are going to other gods, Molech, people are... Apparently that hit a nerve for me.
Moloch?
My bad.
Is Moloch the gateway drug for demonology? Because he seems to always be the...
I feel like for a theologian's demonology?
Yeah, like...
Yeah, that like, could be.
Because like it's always like...
It's either that or Screwtape.
What I mean is that like when a nation starts falling away, it's like idolatry, then killing the firstborn, and then full-blown, we don't believe in God anymore.
There is a pattern there.
Like,
yeah. And then all of a sudden, hey, you know what? We do have more food the next year. Weird. The current running joke. It's not a joke. It's
we do have more food because we killed a ton of people. Yeah.
Turns out, if you sacrifice your kids, there's more food. That sucks. I can't believe I said that. Anyway. This whole bit sucks. I'm going to get canceled.
There's nothing to cancel because we haven't started.
Yeah.
Point seven, most Americans don't think believing in God is necessary to be a good person, says the Moloch worshiper.
Oh, no.
According to the summer 2023 survey, when we asked people which statement came closer to their views, 73% selected it is possible to be moral and have good values without believing in God, while 25% picked it is necessary to believe in God in order to be moral and have good values. Now, if you've ever been on any social media, you might see a scene from a movie where a bunch of guys are arguing about laws, like religiously political people. And he said, the one says, there is nothing more than what Satan wants than for you to be a good moral person without Christ.
Yes.
And so, yes, you don't need religion or God, so to speak, in the context that they're speaking. Of course, you need God to do good because he's the source of good. But in as far as like, having a society where people don't get murdered or where people like each other, people treat each other.
But yeah.
Yes. You could theoretically do so without believing in the Christian God. Theoretically.
Yeah.
But as Christianity teaches over and over and over again, doing those things is not what makes you good.
Yeah. Because as the lowercase r reformed and the uppercase r reformed, we would both go, actually, believing in God doesn't even make you any better of a person.
Yes.
We've been
saying this the whole time.
I agree. It's just, it's not like the people who believe in God are good people and the people who don't believe in God can also be good people. It's in both category can't be good
people. Because... what it means to be good. What it means to be good is not what you do. It's your heart.
Yes.
which
they are related, sure.
Yeah, which will then, as the Christian teaches, will produce good action over time. Sanctification takes effect, those things. But again, like the C.S. Lewis point, by merely doing good but for bad reasons,
yeah,
does not make you a good person.
Yeah.
And the other argument he gives is, if we lived in a world where good things happen to those who did good,
mm-hmm.
and not in a world where good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, well, then we wouldn't have any good people, because the people would just be doing good to get the reward.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the inverse of Nietzsche's critique, of Nietzsche's critique, which is, if you just do good out of fear of punishment.
Yes.
Then you're not doing, it's not really good.
Yeah. Doing good for goodness' sake. You is to do good regardless of the reward or the punishment.
Yeah.
And you see that typified in Christ the best. Anyways.
Did you see how point eight is how many atheists are atheists?
About 3/4 of US atheists, 77%, do not believe in God or a higher power or in a spiritual force of any good. Turns out 77% of atheists are atheists. The other 33% are religious.
Well, they don't know. Dude, okay.
According to our summer 2023 survey, at the same time, 23% say they do believe in a higher power of some kind, though fewer than 1% of US atheists say they believe in God as described in the Bible. So,
tracks.
One must ask, if you believe in the God of the Bible,
why are you on a survey saying you're it? Because you're confused.
Or he was teleported through time and space from early Roman Christianity, where they were called atheists. And so he's saying, I am an atheist. I don't believe in Roman gods. Did we figure out time travel?
No.
Oh, okay. This shows that not all self-described atheists fit the literal definition of atheist.
So, in other words, only 77% of atheists are atheists.
In which case, we then have to go back to the religiously unaffiliated.
Yeah.
Cut 33% out of that.
So, again, when you and I, colloquially, the way we will use the term atheist, like, we'll go to work, we'll hang out with people. There are tons and tons and tons of people that I would think in my daily life, colloquially, no, that's an atheist.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're like, well, I don't believe in God, but like, you know, there's spiritual forces, but also like, I'm going to meet my grandma when I die.
Here's the other thing. What that's kind of signifying.
Why atheism is just paganism. Yeah. Anyway.
No. Is when they say they're atheists, but they believe in something.
Mm-hmm.
Is they're actually just saying, I don't believe it's the God of the Bible. And so in their mind, it's either God of the Bible or none.
Yes. Which is why C.S. Lewis is still right in the whole. I think, no, it's not C.S. Lewis. It was a lecture that was given on BBC in the 80s that got turned into a book called Christian Philosophy that I picked up for like $4. Anyway, he says something to the effect of, at the current moment, when I ask somebody on a train, do they believe in God? They know what I mean.
Yes.
There is no
other God.
There is no other gods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Hmm. It is just we have soft paganism just rampant.
Well,
it's just, I don't want. Yeah.
If you say you're an atheist, but you believe that God is real.
There's a spiritual force that is guiding things.
Well, even if it is the biblical God, because 1% do, then
I would say that's confused.
Potentially. Or.
Oh, is it a religious position assenting to the idea that, yes, the God of the Bible may exist, but screw him?
Yes.
Okay. It's the Brothers Karamazov.
Or James's demons. Yeah.
How'd they get to survey demons?
They surveyed demons? Dude, I would love if a demon showed up and he's like, yeah, I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you present when Jesus came and you called him the Son of God? Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. That would be funny. Yeah.
Hmm. Are we done with that one?
I think so.
Okay.
We're at an hour 15.
Are we at an hour 15? Okay. Do we want to do one more?
I'm up for it.
Let's do one more. Let's skip the 8 in 10 Americans say religion is losing influence in public life. If that sounds interesting, go to the links in the YouTube description. Mm-hmm. But we're going to jump to New Age beliefs common among both religious and non-religious Americans, which is mm-hmm. kind of actually what we're talking about. How there's kind of, at least that's what, to me, New Age belief is just soft paganism's back, baby.
Sorry, I just saw this. Oh, so the U.S. adults who say that they're neither religious nor spiritual tend to reject New Age beliefs. But then they have a group that's spiritual but not religious.
Mm-hmm.
And then above that, they have religious but not spiritual.
Yeah.
I believe in Christianity. Do you believe in God? No.
No. Do you pray? No.
Mm-hmm. I do as a matter of focus.
I believe in God religiously.
But not spiritually.
Well, hang on.
Is that just Jordan Peterson?
The Jordan Peterson crowd.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. If they actually do believe, we hope they do. But.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so take this one away. You did a lot of reading in this.
Hey, do the thing. You are going to, I think you're going to know some of the answers to the questions. What percentage of U.S. adults affirm at least one of the four New Age beliefs? Yeah, I asked you this, so mm-hmm. this is more for you, the listener. So these four, what percentage believe at least one of U.S. adults? Psychics, astrology, reincarnation, or spiritual energies in objects?
Spiritual energies.
Well, 60% of Americans believe one of the four. Yeah. Which two New Age beliefs are most commonly accepted? Each about 40% of U.S. adults of those four.
Oh. No
so
idea.
You know it's the spiritual energies in yeah. objects. That's one of them. Yeah. What is the other one?
Oh.
What is the other New Age belief that is commonly accepted?
Psychics.
You got it, baby.
Yeah.
40% of U.S. adults.
Yeah. It's close enough to prayer and prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I need a message from God that I can see people that are not strong in their understanding of divination.
Well, hey, I just got to do a Hittite... necromancy ritual, remember?
Yes.
From
Witch of Endor, Samuel.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Just got to put a blanket over a hole.
And then Samuel could go through the blanket, probably.
Yes.
That is what we landed on, was it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Or I do like...
Because, his soul's not trapped by my sheet.
Well, I do love the idea of, like, you dig a hole and you put the blanket over top. You show someone, hey, look, there's nothing there. You put the blanket over top. And then they're like, grandma? And then the Witch of Endor's just behind them, like...
Ventriloquism.
Like, yes, sonny!
She's, like, set up to do that. And then actual Samuel comes up. And not just gets caught in the sheet, because why would he? Goes above the sheet and she's like... That was a good episode.
Oh, it was great.
Go listen to that Samuel episode.
Still super sad, but...
How do traditional Christians compare to non-religious Americans in holding New Age beliefs?
Oh, less.
Okay, yes. 6 in 10 Christians hold to at least one New Age belief, whereas non-religiously affiliated are equally likely... Although atheists are much less likely.
Mm.
So in other words, religious nuns and Christians are just as likely to believe New Age
garbage.
It'd be interesting to see the age demographics there, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I've met some pretty wild.
Oh, this is interesting.
Okay.
Breakdown of Republican versus Democrat.
Oh.
Who is more likely to believe in New Age beliefs?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, women are more likely than men. That's the first stat.
Yeah.
But then when you get to Republican versus Democrat, you get spiritual energies can be located in physical things. Objects. Republicans, 34%. Democrats, 47%.
Really? Well, okay, hang on. Because there's a big, especially in low church, there's a big, actually, it's true in high church, too. It's just not, I don't think it's as aggressive.
Yeah.
There is a thing of like, hey, demons can linger in objects and stuff.
Believe in psychics, 39% in Republicans, 41% of Democrats.
Hmm. That's way closer than it should be. Well, I mean, all of them should be zero.
This is a big one. Believe in reincarnation. 26% of Republicans, 38% of Democrats.
Okay.
And then believe in astrology, 24% Republicans, 32% liberals.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. That is.
Wait a second. Okay. The college one is, I find interesting.
Yes.
Okay. So on the college one, all of them. You're more less likely to be to hold any New Age belief
if you went to college.
If you went to college
versus just high school.
Versus just high school. That's interesting. Yeah. But the ages wise,
yeah,
they're kind of just on point. Makes sense.
Well, what's interesting is
reincarnation doubled almost.
Yeah,
in like so if 65 and up, 22%. Whereas 18 to 29, 39 reincarnation just skyrocketed. In fairness, this is a study from 2018.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 7-year-old study.
Yeah.
But
crazy.
Whack.
What a,
why do you think New Age belief is so, I'm going to close my laptop because this will be our last discussion. Yeah. This will be our last question.
It's definitely the religiously unaffiliated groups.
But my question is, why do you think it's so susceptible? Specifically those four, right? Psychics, astrology, reincarnation, and spiritual spirits, inhabitants of objects, let's say. Or spiritual energies, what I should say.
I think out the natural human place to find God elsewhere. Other than him.
Because it's just animism.
Animism.
Thank you.
What's the other one? Familial.
Mm.
Stuff like that. General paganism. Psychics.
General paganism.
The ability to discern and manipulate reality based off one's own will or finding the secrets behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's... as the Bible would say in Romans 1 or in Genesis or in Exodus, whatever, that is humanity's natural state in sin.
Yeah.
And so I just think that regardless of what religious group you are, you're like it's saying in religiously not affiliated versus Christianity, it's the same.
Yeah. Which is wild.
Yeah. It's because that's sin.
Yeah.
Like that's sin coming out. And so of course I think of course, people in any population thinks that someone knows something about the future.
Yeah.
Of course, people think that there's ways in which, because reincarnation is really just a reflection that we know that we're eternal, but we don't know how.
Yeah.
Because we don't believe in a hereafter, so it must be here.
Yeah. Or a divine judgment or a, yeah.
Yeah. We also, psychics do believe, like, the hidden belief in divination, which psychology, psychics are just a version of divination, divining the future, is the idea that the future is organized in some way, and that it is knowable or followable or...
This is why it's a science, right?
Yeah. The idea that there are spiritual realities amongst physical things. Is the understanding that there's something here that's not tangible?
Yeah.
And then the astrology thing is that something's guiding me.
Well,
all of these are just poor reflections of what Christianity is teaching.
Well, you even have do I want to say that?
It's the trading of the lie, the trading of the truth for a lie. But it's the reflection of when God says that you can see him in nature. That's the bad, screwed up, smudgy mirror reflecting the image. But we're too blind to see what it actually is.
Yeah.
That there is a spiritual entity that exists more primal than reality, that does know the future, that is guiding reality, and that there is a plan after death.
Mm-hmm. Secularism is just paganism. You heard it here, folks.
Correct. Hey, as it says in Deuteronomy, the gods of other nations are demons.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, prove me wrong.
Yeah, actually, I don't know. I've found I've gotten in more and more trouble saying stuff like that recently. And I don't know if you would know. I have gotten more extreme in my vocabulary on that, haven't I?
But what's weird is like I've been saying this stuff for a long time and nobody comes after me about it.
I don't know. I don't think you get as extreme as sometimes I do.
I just don't say it with the energy that you do.
Sure.
I say it's the like same I
believed
words.
It. I believe it.
Yeah.
But then it's like, no.
You've just you
everything watched. Is religious and seculars are pagans.
I love the idea of calling them seculars.
What, seculocators?
The secularites.
Yeah.
That's a good.
We'll end it there. This was surprisingly
good,
funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So
the Moloch bit was.
Yeah, I don't actually know if that's going to make it, man.
It's going to be funny.
It's probably is. Cole's not going to let it.
He's
down.
Not even going to hear that part.
He's not even going to listen when he edits this. If you would like to listen to an episode where Cole, Joel, and Colton. Man, that was bad. Where the other three members of the podcast are present, or some of them are present, go check out our catalog. You can find that either on Spotify or on Apple Podcast where you're listening to this, or if you're listening to on YouTube, you can find them there as well. If you go to our website, you can find links to all those places, but you can also find our book reviews there. What's the other stuff that we do? We have a blog there. And then from there, you can also find a link to our Buy Me a Coffee, which is our support. Help us afford some of our equipment. We actually do need some new mic arms. But
yes.
And
lastly, if you want a cardboard cutout of Colton, email us. And you have to tell us your.
How much would we charge for a cardboard cutout?
$50.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it for Second Rate Saints. Join us next time. Hopefully you found these stats just as interesting as we did. Again, these are going to be in the YouTube videos description, links to these stats, but also just go check out Pew Research. It's fascinating. They have not just religious stuff. They have politics, demographics, social positions, everywhere, science. It is fascinating. Yeah. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Well, you'll hear us next time. We won't see or hear you. But if you write to us, we can read your words.
And you might get a cardboard cutout of Colton.
Yeah.
Sick. Which one of us is going to turn it off now?
Sick is also a religion, but it wasn't on that stat.
It was the other religions.
Yeah.
It's tiny.
I guess.
Like Jainism and
Taoism.
It's
just disproportionate in the lower mainland where we are.
We do have the highest population of Indians outside of India.
Not just Indians, but like of Sikh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, because they're leaving because Hinduism and Islam is pressing them on all sides.
And fair.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It is time.
It is time.